scattered, broken, riven between worlds, we are fractured.
Hello and welcome to something new. We are doing something a little different. This is a new game. We are doing something called One Shot Mondays for a lot of this year. As long as we have these one shots, we're going to be releasing them episode by episode every Monday. So the very first game that we are going to be playing here is called Masks, which is a Powered by the Apocalypse teenage superhero game, and it is going to be a ton of fun, and moreover, I am not GMing it. So, Hannah, do you want to go ahead and tell everyone about your game?
Yeah, so we're calling it Fractured Futures.
Yes.
Which will, for reasons that will become obvious very shortly. So basically, to give a brief synopsis of our game, Masks is all about teenage superheroes. So Andrew, Susanna, and Wesley are all playing teenage superheroes who are going to have to team together to figure some things out. There's going to be a little bit of murder mystery as well as aliens and superheroes. So it's going to be fun. I don't want to give too much away because we'll discover things as we go. But yeah.
Sounds great to me.
Okay, so should we go ahead and start with the prologue intro?
Sure.
Do we want to discuss differences?
Okay.
Like the very basics.
We can go ahead and talk about how this differs from Monster of the Week. Yeah. I don't want to go too far into details.
That's what I was going to say. Is like this would be a good time to say this is how it's different from Monster of the Week.
Yeah. Okay, so to explain the differences between Masks and Monster of the Week, because Monster of the Week is what we normally play, they're both powered by the Apocalypse system, so they just use 2d6, which is very simple. Masks is really roleplay heavy and very, like, rules light. So there's not a lot of specific combat. There's no hit points, there's no damage, things like that. So there are a lot of differences combat-wise. There are some moves that kind of correlate to each other, like, for instance, provoke someone is similar to manipulate someone. So the rules, the general moves are kind of similar, not exactly the same because they involve superhuman abilities and things like that. And the only other, I think, main difference is that there's like a currency called influence that helps you kind of get more power or abilities over other people. And then there are also like specific conditions that you can have marked that will affect your moves, and also you have to do specific things to clear them, which affects, like, you have to do specific story things to clear the conditions. So, like, anger, there's like an angry label, and in order to clear anger, you have to hurt or break something important. So, the conditions are cleared using like story elements instead of like rolling, which is kind of cool. Does that basically sum up the differences? Do you guys think of anything else I should talk about? Oh, labels.
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 Yeah, yeah, labels.
Yeah, that's important. Okay. So on Monster of the Week is obviously, you know, charm, cool, sharp, tough, weird. Masks is, let me pull it up. Masks is freak, danger, savior, superior, and mundane. And this, Masks takes a really unique stance. Instead of being like stable, like, stats that you can only improve through, like, advancement, your labels actually change depending on your conditions that you have marked and, like, your emotional state. So the labels themselves are actually a reflection of, like, your character's opinion of themselves. So, like, if someone has a very high freak label, it means they think that they're freakish and outsideish and weird and they're gonna act that way. If they have a super high mundane level, to go like the opposite direction, they're going to try to act like as normal as possible, like as a normal kid as possible. So the labels are really cool because it's it affects your moves for sure, but they're changing all the time. So you never have the same like set of core labels. It's always going to change depending on how your character is feeling about themselves. So a mask is really like emotion centric, which is why it's more roleplay heavy. It's because it's really focusing on your character's like self image of themselves, because that's like what, you know, like teen superhero movies are about. It's about the they're kids, but they have these crazy abilities, but they're
that's
still
what
kids.
Teenagers are about.
Yeah, teenagers.
Just about
yeah,
emotions.
So like, yeah,
teenagers
so
and emotions.
It's just,
no
it's
way.
A really cool. Yeah, masks like in the shifting label system is a really cool reflection of that. So I think it's going to be really cool to see how that changes as we go. But the characters always start out with the same like base, and then when you create the character, you add one to whatever label you feel you want to add it to, and then it's going to change from there as we go. Yeah, so this is a new system for all of us. So we'll explain things like as we come across them, because we're going to have questions about them, and me too, even though I'm GMing. I'm going to have questions about the rules, so as we go, we'll explain more. But yeah, I think that's a good place to start. Okay. Any last words?
That's a great thing to ask your
right
players
before
right
you
before
throw
starting
them into
a one
it.
Shot. Right before we start... Any last words? I liked this character for the brief moment that I had them. That's my last word.
Okay. All right. So are you ready?
Yep.
Okay. So I'm going to read through what I'm going to call the prologue, kind of like how Susanna does a prologue. I'll get you guys' kind of feedback reaction, and then we'll go straight into it. Okay?
All right.
Sounds good.
In a quiet suburb on the outskirts of nowhere, Oklahoma, sits a house in a crowded cul-de-sac. It's only 7 p.m., but the shortened January days make it seem as dark as midnight. There's a new moon hanging in the sky, so only lights come from inside the houses and the distant light pollution of the city. At the center of the cul-de-sac sits the Watt household. They're just now sitting down for a late dinner. The youngest of the household, Gabby, had gotten home late from an indoor track meet, and they always make sure to eat dinner together, no matter what time that was. And when you have superheroes in the family, that means there could be some odd meal times. It came with the territory. Charlotte Watt starts to pass around a bowl of mashed potatoes, and they fall into their usual chit-chat about the day's activities. Unbeknownst to the Watt family, their night of familial bliss is about to come to an abrupt end. Outside, large figures pass through the shadows, two of them to be exact. Despite the fact that they have to be close to 7 feet tall, they move silently and are not spotted. A stray headlight from a car pulling into a nearby house flashes briefly across the yard and reveals the glow of four animal-like eyes stalking closer to the back of the house. Inside of the house, Jonas Watt is sitting at the far end of the dining room table. Behind him is a large window that overlooks their fenced-in backyard. In an instant, the window shatters. The large creatures burst through. Jonas only just manages to get to his feet when sharp talons protrude through his chest. Gabby screams. David, the father, summons a sort of pure energy and dives toward the creature with its talons in his son's chest and cleaves it in two. The other creature opens a portal and steps through. Charlotte dives toward it, but it closes and winks out of existence with a flash of blue energy. All of this happens in about 30 seconds. 30 seconds that have completely changed the lives of the Watt family. Jonas lays on the floor. Blood is quickly pulling around him and dribbling down his chin. He can't speak. The long talons from the dead creature's hands have punctured completely through his chest. His mother falls to her knees and is begging, crying, hands on his chest. And his father is picking himself up off of the floor and dragging himself towards his son. Jonas takes a raspy breath and then doesn't move again. Gabby screams once more in a shrill, piercing wail of agony. But this time a burst of sonic energy waves come with it so forceful that all of the windows on the bottom floor of the house shatter. Outside, there's a surprised gasp, and then a lone figure flees the scene, unspotted by the family.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
What an opener.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, there's little better hook than death at the beginning.
Hey, Andrew, how are you feeling about this?
Pretty interesting.
I'm
because my character's name is Jonas Watt.
Yeah, so fun fact, Andrew just died. All right, let's keep going.
That's the end of it. It's over.
Moving on. All right, bye, Andrew.
Bye.
Okay.
My last words make so much more sense now.
I gotta say, nice turn on the aliens. Everyone loves a good alien bad guy, and mm. Oh man, 4 eyes and 7 feet tall. My
Is that
gosh.
What they are?
All right, so continuing. In the heart of the city, Jason Josephs III is sitting on a sofa in his condo. He looks to be in about his mid-40s. You can tell by the organization in his living space that he likes things neat, clean, organized, put together. But that's not what he looks like right now. He looks really run down, ragged, there's bags under his eyes, bloodshot eyes. There's like a half-empty bottle of vodka on the table in front of him. He's staring like at a television screen, even though it's not turned on. He's just like zoned out. But his cell phone starts vibrating against the table, and he picks it up, puts it on speakerphone, and the first thing he says is, "Let me guess, there's another one." And a woman replies, "Yeah, another one." And he says, "Who? Sierra or Jonas?" There's kind of a pause, and the woman replies, "Jonas." The man sighs, kind of like runs his hands over his face. And then the woman continues and says, "There's a dead doll man at the scene this time. David managed to kill it. There was a second, but it got away. But it won't be long until Zenkels claims responsibility for this one, too." Jason replies, "Call Sierra. She needs to know. And our plan? We need to move the timetable up. We do it tomorrow, first thing in the morning." And she replies, "Jason, we can't. We don't even know if this plan is going to work." And he just says, "That was an order, Bashara." The woman, Bashara, sighs and says, "Okay." And then there's a beep signaling that the call has been disconnected. So, Sierra, Susanna, what would you be doing at 7 p.m. on a weeknight?
Considering there's been all of these murders going on? Like, I know about that, right?
Yes. Okay, so as a little bit of context for our audience, the town of Nowhere, Oklahoma is kind of like this, like, futuristic metropolis kind of city. So Nowhere, Oklahoma is actually a real place. But it's like a small, like, kind of like rural town. But in this universe, Nowhere is about like 6 million people, large city. And there have been assassinations taking place because Nowhere is the home to the League of Defense. The League of Defense is like this hero protection, kind of like the Avengers or Teen Titans or, you know, that kind of thing. And the heroes on the League of Defense have been assassinated one by one over the past 2 weeks. So, yes, you would know that.
I imagine my guardian probably wouldn't let me out. Like, I'm probably sitting mm-hmm. inside just, like, tensely watching TV trying to keep my emotions in check.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. I'm just watching whatever this world's version of Friends is. Just something completely innocuous.
Yeah. Okay, so I'm trying to think of where that would be for you. So, you're kind of, like, mentor or, like,
person guardian. I could just be, like, in the base.
Yeah, is Jason. So the base is a safe place, so you probably would be there. Yeah, okay, so we'll say you're in the base, which has a great name, but I want to wait to reveal that later. Okay, so Sierra, your phone rings.
Okay, I look at it.
And you see it's Jason.
Okay.
Would Jason tell her in person?
It's
Well, he told Bashara to do it, which I was thinking, like,
yeah.
He's there.
No, sorry,
like,
I said Jason,
man,
but
what
it's
a douche move to go tell it's Bashara.
Okay, okay.
To tell
okay.
Bashara to do something he could go do himself.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I said Jason, but it is Bashara that's calling. So Bashara is calling you. You are at the base. Jason is at his condo, so he's not at the base.
Oh, okay.
But Jason just doesn't want to do it, so he's making Bashara do it.
Okay, he's making Bashara do it. He could call me, too. Okay.
He could eventually, but he doesn't want to right now because he's drunk.
I've been getting a lot of calls lately that I don't like, so I ignore it. I just sit there and I can like feel my blood pressure rising, and I'm just and I stick it in the couch.
Okay, well, Bashara tries to call you again. And if you don't answer, she's going to send you a text that says, it's Jonas.
Okay. I think as soon as I hear the long buzz that says it's a text, I pick it up and I see that it's Jonas. And then I take my phone and I just completely lose control. You see for a second, you see a 14-year-old short little Hispanic girl that is sitting wearing all pink and watching TV calmly. And then in a couple of seconds, you see me start to get bigger and my skin turns red and rips form on the flesh on my skin. My clothes are destroyed and I turn into a 9-foot-tall giant red monster. I take the phone, crush it in my hands, and then throw my hands through the television. This is not the first time this television has been destroyed recently.
I think this would be a great opportunity for you to go over your class real quick.
Okay, yeah. Cool. So you may get in, you may have understood kind of where I'm coming from, but my class in this game is called the Bull, and they're basically a giant weapon. In terms of labels, currently I have 1 freak, 2 danger, 0 savior, 1 superior, -1 mundane for reasons that should become fairly obvious.
Yeah.
And I do currently have a condition, but I won't say what it is right now. Do you want me to go over my moves or?
Yeah, if you want to give like a brief description of your moves and then Bull's Heart, sure, as okay. Well.
Yeah, right. So I have 2 moves right now. The first one is my favorite, and it's called Physics. What physics? When I unleash my power to barrel through an insurmountable barrier, roll danger instead of freak. So basically, like, I break things.
Yes.
That's what I do. And then I also have one called There When It Matters. When you defend someone on a hit, you can hold 1 instead of choosing for the less. Spend your hold when they are in danger later to arrive on the scene ready to help. So I have a move that helps me break things and a move that helps me protect people. And then
Yay.
My core move, yeah, my core move for the Bull is something called Bull's Heart, which basically I have a love and a rival, and I can like help take care of them or annoy them in like depending on which one
yeah.
it is.
Yeah. Okay.
So who are your love and your rival?
My love and my rival are, well, my love was Jonas.
Not anymore.
So, Jonas, can I mention like who he was?
Yeah.
So Jonas was my boyfriend.
Okay.
And now mm-hmm. he's gone.
Yeah,
now
so maybe
dead.
My reaction might make sense to you. And then my rival is another member of the team named Martin, who we'll get to eventually, I'm sure.
That yes. name sounds familiar.
Alrighty. Okay, so going back to the scene, Sierra, did you destroy your phone or the TV?
Both.
Both.
Okay. I crushed the phone and then put it through the TV.
Oh, man. Okay. Well, Bashara still
this
needed to tell
you things.
This
is a fairly normal occurrence for me.
Yes. Bashara, I assume, is familiar with your behavior enough that she will send, like, a message to, like, the intercom system at the base. Basically, like, a voice message that plays, like, over the intercom and says, like, we're advancing our plans. And you know vaguely what the plans are, but you don't know specifically what they are. We're advancing our plans. I need you to get to my condo as soon as you can.
Okay. And I listened to this over the a couple of seconds. You slowly, you see this giant monster that has just put its hand through a television. And you see me pull my hand out of the television and just shake the glass and other materials off of it. And then you see me start to, again, just trying to get myself under control. And then slowly you see me sink back down to my smaller self. You'd see a very tasteful version of just my head over the couch as I go and find some more clothes.
Yes.
I was not wearing my super suit that lets me do that. without breaking it.
Without breaking it.
So I go find some clothes to get dressed up as, and then I make my way down to go out there. I guess, is there some sort of like shuttle system I can take? Because I don't have a car. I'm 14.
There is actually a teleporter on base.
Oh, sweet. So, does it go to Bashara's house?
Yes, you can fast travel to Bashara's house.
Sweet, I do that.
Okay. We've established that Nowhere, Oklahoma is this bustling metropolis of futuristic metropolis. Now, we're going to go into a different reality where Nowhere, Oklahoma has a population of about 500? No, maybe more like 5,000. But it's a really small, like, run-down rural town. There's a McDonald's and a 7-Eleven, and Starbucks is considered a luxury because you have to travel, like, an hour and a half away to get to the closest one. That's the kind of town that this is.
Oh, boy.
Andrew, yeah? Jonas Watt is alive in this reality.
Uh-huh.
And Jonas Watt is not a superhero. So what is Jonas doing on a weeknight?
On a weeknight?
Yes.
So you see Jonas Watt sitting at his desk in his room in the foster home that he lives in. He is a tall, about 5'11", 16-year-old boy. He's got dark black hair. He's got brown eyes. He's got like the equivalent of a 16-year-old's chiseled jaw. I mean, he's not fully grown yet, but he's got a bit of beard coming in. Not anything to write home about, but he is starting to get the starts of a beard. And he's pretty fairly well built. He's not scrawny, and he's not like a bodybuilder. You know, he's just in good physical condition.
Okay.
And he's sitting at his desk just doing some homework, beginning of the school year, just kind of getting in the swing of things with some new classes.
Okay. So how many other people are in your foster home? Like, explain kind of like your living situation.
Right. So it's not a bad foster home. Like, it's the family is nice, and I've got probably 4 or so other foster siblings. But it's also not super, like, homey, I guess. You know, like, it just feels kind of distant, I guess. It's not my first foster home. I bounced around to a couple of other ones first, and this is kind of just the most recent one. I'll say I've been here for about a year or two.
Okay. Is your bedroom first floor, second floor?
Second floor.
Second floor. Okay. So you're in your room studying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So.
Oh, I forgot to say I'm 16, by the way.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
So what you hear is like a pounding on the door, like the front door to your house. Like, you start hearing this rapid, like, hard banging on your door.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think one of your parents would answer, or foster parents?
I think that Jonas would normally assume that they would, yeah.
Okay.
So he probably wouldn't go down and get it immediately.
Okay.
He's on the second floor, too, so.
Yeah. So the door, we'll say your mom answers, and your foster mom answers, and the door opens, and you start to hear some shouting downstairs. Not like shouting, but like loud, I guess more like loud conversation taking place. And you hear a strange woman's voice that you don't recognize shouting your name. You can hear your name, but you can't hear anything else going on in the conversation. But you hear her shout, like, no, Jonas Watt. No. So you hear, like, someone kind of, like, drop your name really loudly at the front door.
Yeah. I think that'll pique Jonas's curiosity. I think he's going to go see what's going on.
Okay.
So he's gonna like leave. He's gonna, you know, put down his pen and pencil, whatever, and stop doing his homework and kind of just go walk to the stairwell to like the front hall. I kind of like, I'm imagining it's like, you know, he can see the front hall from like the top landing or something, you know, and he's kind of watching.
Okay, so you see At the door is, she's an African-American woman.
Mm-hmm.
She looks to be in like her like 30s. So younger, okay. African-American woman, and someone that you definitely don't recognize. But you hear her saying, like, does Jonas Watt live here? Like, I need to talk with Jonas. Is he here?
And then I think Jonas would, I think he would speak up at this point. I mean, like, she's looking for him. So she's gonna be like, he's going to be like, yeah, I'm Jonas.
Okay. Let's actually clarify. Bashara is wearing kind of like a lab coat, like a white lab coat, glasses. Like, she looks very like the stereotype of like the tech. You know, tech person.
Yeah.
So she hears you and looks up at you, and her eyes like get like as big as saucers, and she's like, the look on her face is like, holy crap, like it worked. And but you don't know that.
But that's the look. That's the kind of look that's on her face.
Yes, that's the kind of look that's on her face. She sees you, and you can tell that she knows you. Is the big thing that you notice. You could tell she knows you. So she just pushes past your mom and starts bolting up the stairs towards you and grabs onto your arm, like looks you dead in the eyes and says, we need to get out of here now.
And I think Jonas is going to be like very surprised. Like he's like, what do you mean? And he's like, I think he's trying to like pull away because this is just seems crazy to him. Like this woman is acting, well, like this even makes it, she's acting like she knows him and he has no idea who this woman is. And he's wondering what the heck's going on. I think he's trying to pull himself away.
Yeah. So in the background, I feel like your foster mom probably shouts for your dad to like call the cops or something like that.
Yeah.
And starts like also running up the stairs. But Bashara like grabs you like by the, like she loosens her grasp a little bit to like seem a little bit more friendly. But she like grabs you by the shoulders and like, look, I know this isn't going to make sense to you, but in my reality, like, we need you. So we need to go. I don't have time to explain. Any reaction?
Yeah. And he, like, here's the word, my reality. And he's like, what do you mean my reality? What do you mean you need me? This doesn't make any sense. Like, he's just baffled. He's just like that awestruck like teenager who just has no clue what's going on.
Yeah.
And I think he's just kind of dumbfounded. He's shocked, you know?
Okay. So, Bashara kind of says, she looks at you and she can tell you're confused and shocked. And she says, look, I know you think this is nowhere, you know, nowhere, Oklahoma, but there's the actual nowhere that we need to get back to. So just brace yourself. And you see her on her wrist, she has like this kind of like panel attached to her wrist. And so she opens it up, she presses her hand on it, and then she grabs your shoulder. And you watch as this like panel starts to create this blue light. And then you watch as your skin and your body and your surroundings starts to dissolve into blue light. Your house like vanishes, and for a moment you're lost in like this pitch black nothingness. And then there's like a hard lurch in your stomach, and then all of a sudden you are standing in the middle of a busy cityscape. So you're standing in front of like... Yeah. Size skyscrapers, and like everything looks, it's dark, but from what you can tell, there's city lights everywhere, screens on. You're just all of a sudden, you were in your house, you disappeared, and now you are here.
Okay.
How do you feel?
I think Jonas would like fall to the ground and start puking. He had like a lurch in his stomach. Like I think that it would like completely take him by surprise.
Okay, that's a rational reaction or reasonable reaction.
Yeah.
So Bashara like hurries up and like kind of like picks you up and starts like dragging you along after her.
Yeah.
And starts taking you towards this really tall building, which you see is called the Guilford Complex. There's like huge letters lit up that's called the Guilford Complex. Mm-hmm. And so she starts leading you inside, and she takes you to an elevator, and she swipes like a key card to get access to the elevator and like hits a button. And as soon as the elevator doors are closed, you can see her kind of like relax a little bit. But she says, I know this is a lot, but I need you to trust me. I'm taking you this to my apartment. This place is safe, but I just need you to trust me for now. Things will make sense, I promise.
And Jonas is just kind of looking around, and he's just like, where are we? What did you do? What was that?
You're in nowhere. I'm sure this doesn't look like nowhere to you, but you're in our nowhere. I'm Bashara. Hi, nice to meet you, I guess. My name's Bashara Oswald. We're actually
he like weakly shakes her hand. If she puts her hand out to shake, yeah. He just like weakly shakes. He's just kind of like going along with it.
And so she's like, I'm Bashara Oswald. I'm the technology advisor to the League of Defense. So I develop your, you know, technology stuff that you superheroes use on the League of Defense. I guess you don't know what that is. She like realizes.
Yeah, he's probably like just mouthing himself like League of Defense. Like he's just like, there's a lot of information coming at him fast.
Yeah. So she goes, yes. Yeah, so you're dead here. But.
And like Jonas just kind of like shakes his head and he's like not understanding what he's hearing yet.
Yeah, but there's an attack coming and we need help. So I've found the two closest realities and yours was one of them. And so you are one of the ones to get pulled. And we'll explain more later. It'll make sense, I promise. The door is open to Bashara's apartment, which is where Sierra mm-hmm. is.
Mm-hmm.
So, Sierra, you see Bashara walk in with Jonas.
I see.
And Jonas looks exactly like you, you know, recognize him.
Oh, jeez.
or as you know him. He looks completely identical.
As soon as I lock eyes on him, I transform again. I haven't had this much trouble controlling my powers in like 3 years.
Wait, you transform?
Yeah, so Jonas would see a short, little, teenage Hispanic girl dressed in a... I think I probably would have put my superhero uniform on at this point. Mm-hmm. Dressed in like this like white and black leotard, basically. And then you see a giant red monster with ripped skin that just like stares at you, just like
oh my god.
Jonas is like he is like scared, like he is definitely afraid, like he's like oh my god, like he's like oh my gosh, like I think he's like gonna like try and like step back into the elevator, like he's like trying to get away, like he is afraid.
Bashara steps in front of Jonas and puts her hands out and is like, Sierra, it's fine. Calm down. This is different. I know this is shocking, but please calm down so I can explain.
Is she saying that to Sierra?
Yeah.
Calm down. Calm down.
Oh my.
And you see her start to take a couple of steps forward.
Listen, Sierra. Oh, go ahead.
I was just gonna say, like, Jonas is just like, what is that? Like, what is going on?
Sierra, this isn't your Jonas. I know you knew some details of the plan, but we had to move it up before we could tell you anymore. We're going into realities to get different heroes back, and Jonas was the closest. I'm going to get Martin next.
And Sierra just like nods, like the big monster just nods, and then just ragged breaths, and then turns around and faces away from you and then calms down, and you see the big red monster turn back into a short girl, and I put my hand up to like stop Bashar from saying anything else to me, and then I say, I'm gonna go get a drink in the kitchen. Yeah. And then I walk into the kitchen to go get a drink.
Wow.
Okay. Okay. So, Jonas, anything that you'd like to do at this
yeah.
point?
I'm still
his pants.
Yeah.
Probably.
Like,
yeah.
I'm probably soiled. Maybe. I don't know. I might not actually be soiled in canon, but we'll leave that up to the listeners.
Figuratively, at least.
Listeners' imagination. But yeah, Jonas is just like, what is going on? What was that? Who was that?
Bashara just like...
How did she do that?
Yeah, she takes you like by the shoulders and just like leads you over to the couch and sits you down and says, stay right here, okay? Don't move.
And she looks at him like, wait, are you leaving me with that thing?
It's fine. Sierra will take care of you if you need anything. I will be right back. And she doesn't really give you an option. She just gets on her little panel and she disappears in a blink of blue light.
I was about to say, like, as she's doing that, he's probably saying, like, what? Like, are you going to leave me? Like, you're leaving me here? But, like, he doesn't get it all out before she's gone, so. And now he's just turning and staring at the short Hispanic girl in the kitchen who...
Oh, no, the door's closed. I don't want to see you.
It's a separate room. I was imagining like
it's a separate room.
I was imagining like an open concept. So, yeah, if it's a separate room, then he's just like sitting on the couch, like staring at his surroundings, awestruck.
Okay. So, we're going to go to, is it North or South Carolina, Wesley?
I wanted it to be North.
North
it's
Carolina.
North.
All right. So,
I'm not sure about actual town, but North.
Going into a new and reality, a different reality, we find North Carolina as we know it, in real life. Mm-hmm. And Wesley, you said that Martin is at a fair, right?
Yes, he is. He's how far into the school year is this? Is this right at the beginning? It's January, right? So.
Yeah, it's January, so...
Okay, it's still winterish. Okay.
Yeah, still winterish.
If you can even call it that, North Carolina. Sorry, my northerner is peering through. I apologize.
No, true, yeah. Winterish.
It's true. I've actually lived in North Carolina, and winterish is all you get. Yes, but he... and what day of the week is this? Weekday?
Great question. It's a weekday.
Okay.
I'd say maybe towards the end of the week we'll say... Thursday.
Okay. He's there at a sort of like a winter festival. His parents have taken him. They decide to take a sort of a night trip to this local fair because he has recently had some good reviews from his teachers in school, and you know he's on track for possibly a scholarship maybe in the future, and they're very proud of him. So they decide that they're gonna take this night after school's over after the day's over and just take an evening and go to this fair.
Very nice.
So yeah, right now they're just they're going through, and as they do, he sees the fun house. You know how a lot of carnivals have the fun mm-hmm. house with the mirror maze and other such things, and he looks at his parents, who are following behind him, and he's also 16, by the way. He matches with Andrew's character. He's also 16, but he's very much he can be mature when he needs to be, but at a place like this, he turns into an absolute child. He loves it, and so he sees the fun house, and he's like, oh, mom, dad, can I? I think I'm gonna go try the fun house. You guys wanna come with me?
And they're kind of like, oh, we'll wait outside. You go do your thing.
Okay. And then he says, he's like, all right, I'll just go through myself, and then you guys, I'll meet you on the other side. Yeah, I'll tell you all about it, right? Yeah. And
yeah, we'll meet you over there.
And he he has a very fast cadence when he talks. Normally, he as you can tell, he runs in, and he's passing the rooms, and it's patterned to look like sort of like a winter castle on the outside. Think of that ice castle from Frozen. Okay, think of that.
Yeah. Yes.
And he goes through, and he's, you know, he sees things like the mirror maze and other things, and then he sees a door into a room that it has a little sign on it that says "Adventure awaits ... on this door, and he doesn't really know what it is, and the mystery element, he, you know, that's one of the biggest things for him. He loves mystery stuff. So he decides to go through this door, and as far as what he sees, I will leave that to you.
Yeah, so we'll say that he opens the door, and it's still the fun house. You open this door, and it's like a, have you ever been in a mirror maze?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's a mirror maze.
Okay. So there are two of them? Because I can retcon that. I said that he sort of passed it, but I can, yeah, we could say mirror maze, sure.
Yeah, so it's like a secondary mirror maze. So, like, let's say there's one, like a short one in the beginning, but this is a much longer
one. Big, longer one? Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So you notice when you open the door that there is a blue, you notice a flash of blue light when you open the door, but you don't see anyone at first. And then a woman comes out towards you, like she's exiting like the maze the wrong way. She comes out towards you, and it is Bishara. So you see an African-American woman exit the maze, and she looks at you and kind of like a similar shocked expression. She goes, Martin Salinger.
Yes.
That's your name. That's your name here, right? Your name here is Martin.
My name is Martin. Yeah, I don't know what you mean by here. It's yeah. Do I know you?
Yes and no. So, hang on. This is gonna be a ride. And so she comes up to you and puts her hand on your shoulder. Do you have any kind of reaction to that?
Yes. He looks down at it, and he's starting to get very nervous, because he's replaying all the Stranger Danger things that his parents told him about when he was younger, and he's like, well, look, I know you might think that you know me here, but I don't know you, so I think I'm just gonna go my way now. And then he tries to pull away a little, but.
Yeah, but Shara doesn't let you pull away.
Okay.
She grabs a hold of your shoulder and says, "The last one got sick, so just brace yourself."
and he's kind of struck dumb by this, because he's like, "Well, brace myself for what if I can't get away?" And this is all happening so fast. He's kind of confused at this point.
Okay, and then she taps the panel on her wrist, and the same thing that happened to Jonas happens to you. You watch your cut yourself kind of dissolve into blue light. You disappear. You're lost in, like, this blackness, and then you reappear. And this time, Bishara got a little more accurate, and you do appear directly in Bishara's apartment.
Okay.
Sierra and Jonas see Bishara and Martin appear in like a flash of blue light.
I probably see that. I've been hiding in the kitchen the whole time, so I probably see the flash of blue light, and like I know what it means, but I'm not gonna come out yet.
Okay.
And Jonas is sitting right there, so.
Yeah. So for you guys, this has maybe been like, I say like 20-30 minutes like of time. Not too long, but long enough that there's been some awkward silence, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think she's been hiding in the kitchen, so.
Yeah.
Did you at any point try to, like, go in the kitchen?
No.
Okay.
I was just
going to ask, what were you guys doing while she was gone? Like, did you look around, or are you just shell-shocked on the couch?
I am
drinking the pot of coffee. Like, not, I'm pulling a Henry, and I'm drinking the pot.
That's
not a glass.
That's going to be a thing now. It's like, I need to pull a Henry.
Yeah. I need to pull Henry, So Jonas was just like, I'd say like the first 10 minutes or so, he's just kind of like dumbstruck, like, what is going on? Like, where am I? Like, what's happening? Like, and like, it's setting in, like, he's understanding, like, she said it was another reality, like, she said this was nowhere, like, it's like kind of playing out for him, like, is this real? Like, he's just like wondering, is he actually here? And I think he like pinches himself a couple times, like, make sure he's not dreaming. But after about like 10 minutes of him like trying to come to terms with it, I think he would get curious. And like, you said that she's like a tech kind of person, right? So does she have a lot of really cool, interesting technology in the house, I assume, if it's a very advanced city?
Yes. So to give a little bit of context for everybody, Nowhere is about anywhere from like 10 to 20 years ahead of us technology-wise. They have, in this reality, a metal alloy called aplistium. And aplistium allows, it's like a superconductor for electricity. So it allowed technology to advance faster. So Bashara is the technical advisor, like, to the League of Defense. So she helps, like, she's basically like Tony Stark. like, imagine like Tony Stark, like, that's who she is. She develops like technology and weaponry and things like that for the heroes. So that's who she is. So that's kind of what this apartment looks like. You see, like, a lot of, like, big TV monitors. Actually, one of the TV monitors has, like, your high school picture on it. And has some video footage of you. So you watch superhero footage of yourself on this one TV monitor.
So that definitely, like, hits him, like, what? Like, he, like, he sees himself doing crazy things that he couldn't have imagined doing. Do you want me to say exactly what I see myself doing, or?
Yes. So actually, I was going to say, this is a good opportunity for you to explain your class and your moves and things like
that. Yeah. Okay, cool. That's what I figured. So, real quick, like, before, well, I guess I'll do that first and then I'll finish what I was doing in the apartment. It'll probably be very obvious what I would do in this scenario once I explain my class. So my class is called, The Legacy. So The Legacy is, what was the list of ones that, I guess, like, the Green Lantern is kind of like a good analysis in a way. So, like, the Legacy's
analog?
Analog? What did I say?
Analysis.
Yeah, that's not the right word.
It's okay.
The Legacy, the way to think about the Legacy is, I come from, like, a line of superheroes. So in my case, it's actually like a lineage. So my characters, like you saw from the very beginning, like, my father is a superhero. My younger sister is a superhero. So, like, we have superhero kind of powers in our blood, so to speak. Kind of living up to that lineage and, like, taking on the torch is, like, my big story, so to speak. My character's labels are Freak 1, Danger minus 1, Savior 2, Superior 0, and Mundane 1. So my character's mostly about, like, helping and, like, defending others and, I guess, like, kind of doing good in the world, so to speak. As far as my moves, I don't have any conditions to start out. My moves, the first one is never give up, never surrender. So it says, when you take a powerful blow from someone with far greater power than you, use this move instead of the basic move. The basic move would be, what, take a powerful blow. Yeah, so instead of take a powerful blow, I do this other move, and I roll plus savior for it. On a hit, you stand strong and choose one on a 7-9 mark a condition. And basically gives me things to do, like, you know, I can open up, like, an opportunity against an opponent. I can rally from the hit and inspires the team and add team to the pool, which I'm sure we'll get into later. And then, or I can get my attacker's attention. So essentially my character can stand resolute if I roll well enough and kind of change the situation to my favor. My other move that I took is The Legacy Matters. So when you take influence over someone from your legacy or give them influence over you, mark potential and take plus one forward. So just like the other game system, plus one forward is the same thing. You get plus one on your next die roll. Potential is what we call XP in this system. So it's like an experience gaining move for me.
Yep.
And influence, like Hannah was bringing up, is kind of like a currency based on people having kind of sway over you. So a big part of my character is influence, and like the influence that my legacy members have over me or me over them. So it's all about like, those interpersonal relationships. Speaking of which, my legacy is another move in and of itself. So David Watt is my father, and there's kind of like some story things I got to pick when I made my character. So he is retired and quite judgmental. So he is retired from the superhero business, and the way that I kind of fit, like thought of him being judgmental is not outright judgmental all the time. He's more critical of how well I'm doing as a superhero and making sure that I'm living up to the legacy. Gabby Watt is my younger sister, and she is the next possible member of the legacy is the story option I chose for her. So that just makes sense. You know, she's also a potential superhero. And then you've heard the name drop before, but Zen Kells is the greatest opponent to your legacy, or is the greatest opponent your legacy ever faced and is still at large. So those are, quote unquote, like the members of my legacy and the people who kind of matter for my story arc and influence. And the way the move works is whenever time passes, I roll plus savior to see how they feel or react about my recent exploits. I won't go into more detail than that until I need to roll it, but
yeah,
that's how my legacy kind of impacts my character.
Okay.
And then the final thing I need to pass on is my abilities. I can control machines and technology, which I'm really excited to flex and use.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I have, it's called gadgetry. So the way that I understood that is that I'm just very like into making gadgets. So I imagine that like Jonas Watt in this reality, like hovered very closely to Bashar and was like, you know, just interested in everything she was doing and trying to learn from her. And she probably made a lot of really cool gadgets for him and like helped him because that syncs really well with his machine control ability. And then the last one is Holmesian deduction. So he can kind of like assess the situation and deduce like what the best thing to do is.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I think that's a good kind of a good start off into Jonas Watt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's who Jonas Watt is in this reality.
Yeah. So then what he was doing after that, like first 10 minutes of like coming to terms, like he's in like a technophiles like mecca. So he's just like staring and like looking into everything. Like he was just like pouring all this awesome technology that just seems so amazing. And I think he's just like going around this apartment room and just like a kid in a candy shop. He's just
pushing all the buttons,
like looking at all this. Yeah.
I think. So, what are you specifically looking at? I might make you make a roll.
Oh, okay. I mean, you said there's, like, the monitors. Is there anything that, like, looks familiar enough to me as, like, a piece of technology that I can, like, tell it's just, like, a super advanced version of something else, or...
Are there holograms? Holograms?
Holograms.
Yeah, probably. Yeah, so, basically what you see here is, like, it's like a workshop space. Even though this is like technically supposed to be the living room, like you can tell Bashar has like set this up as like her place.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like an open room with like tables and like technology and tools, and there's like some projects that are like in progress. And there's like instead of having like a wall, it's like one of those like glass, like just a large glass window. So you can see directly over the city of Nowhere.
Okay.
So you can see the whole, like the city from this window. So, sorry, like, you're looking specifically for, like, advanced technology?
Like, something that's, like, familiar enough to me that I can tell that it's, like, you know, like, let's say it was, like, a phone or something. I don't think a phone would make the most sense. And as an example, like, I could see, like, a better smartphone or something, and I would know it's a smartphone, and I could go tinker with it, but...
Oh, yeah.
Something
like
that, yeah.
I won't make you roll for anything like that. Yeah, so you... Yeah, well, say that you see this, like, device on the table, and it's, like, an advanced cell phone. So it's, like...
Okay.
We'll say it's Bashara's phone that she left there. Because she didn't think she'd get service in the other realities, so...
Yeah. So I think he's just, like, poring over this thing and just, like, seeing how much more advanced it is. And, like, he probably can't get into it or anything, but he's just...
Mm-hmm.
Like, very interested in, like, how advanced this technology is. And I think, like, after he stares at it for enough time to, like, move on to the next thing and, like, just, like, keep, like, looking over these things and, like... Because something I forgot to say about this Jonas Watt is he was also, like, really into technology. Like, you know, he just loved, like, tinkering with anything electronic or even mechanical and just, like, trying to learn how it works and how to make it better. Like, that was what he loved doing, so...
Okay.
This is like right up his alley.
I'm gonna have you roll, like, assess the situation, but like just roll superior because you're not gonna ask questions, but I wanna see if you notice something.
Okay, so just roll a straight superior roll?
Yes.
All right, that is an 8.
Okay, so on one of the tables, you notice like blueprints for some kind of like mechanical skeletal system, but you can't really tell what it is, obviously, because it's super advanced and kind of like out of your area.
And I'm just
of expertise.
A high school student, yeah. Like yeah. This Jonas Watt is just a high school student. He's not anything mm-hmm. special. The super version, hero version of him had like Holmesian deduction and like all this stuff, but
yeah,
this guy is yeah. just like a regular high school. So it's like probably like way out of his league, like
yes.
you know, science wise, yeah.
But yeah, so we'll say that's kind of the last thing that you stop on before Bashara and Martin come back.
Okay.
So Martin, how are you feeling? You just got lurched, like pulled out of the funhouse, the mirror maze, and you're suddenly standing in this, like Andrew said, like technology mecca apartment.
Martin, he looks around for about 5 seconds, and then he doesn't have such a violent reaction as Andrew's character does, but he's feeling terribly disoriented, very dizzy, so he just falls forward and catches himself on his hands and knees, and he fixes his eyes on the floor and just starts taking in these deep breaths to try to orient himself. And for the other two, this will be just for description wise, what the other two see is when he was standing for those few seconds, they saw a rather tall, pretty lanky guy, around 5'11". He's got short blonde hair, green eyes. He doesn't really have much of a beard. He likes to keep it clean shaved, so it's not there. But he's his face is also like pretty angular. He's also nationality is white, pale, which he's of course even more pale now because he's kind of freaking out. And after a few moments of just feeling solid matter under him again, he takes it a couple more of these breaths and stands slowly back up to his feet, and then looks over at Bashara and just says, "What the heck was that? My parents were waiting for me, and now what's going to happen to them? I don't know. What do I do?"
Okay, so this is where we're going to bring up influence. Influence is basically allows NPCs and characters to kind of change how a person feels about themselves. So all adults automatically have influence over teenagers. So Bashara has influence over you. So what she's about to do is attempt to shift your labels. You can choose to accept her influence or reject her influence after she says what she says, but I'm just prefacing it with that.
Okay.
So now that both of you are here, like Jonas and Martin, she looks at you and is like, "I'm sure this doesn't make any sense, but nowhere is under attack. There is an alien race called the Dalnea, and they have an extremist leader whose name is Zenkels. And Zenkels is determined to invade nowhere, and they've been killing off all of our defenses. They've been assassinating all of the heroes on the League of Defense, and so I created a technology to cross over into alternate realities. Both of your realities, you were the closest ones that we could find, and so we had to bring you over because we need help. We need help defending nowhere. You guys are..." She's still addressing you. She's like, you both have abilities, and we hoped that bringing you over into this new reality, you would connect with the reality and get those powers. So, do you..." And she like kind of looks back and forth between you because Bashara doesn't think this is going to work. She looks back and forth at both of you and goes, "Do you feel any different?" Okay, so first of all, do you guys accept what she's saying, or do you think she's crazy?
So I was actually Jonas was going to say something, I'm just a high school, what do you mean you need my help? I'm just a high school student, before she explained exactly what was going on with the powers. Mm-hmm. So he was going to say that, and I think
that
he's
say
a,
that.
Well, I can still say that, but at the same time, I think that Jonas is a smart enough person to he was he had that time to come to terms with it. So I think he was, he's had a little bit more time to process. So I think now that he's being told, we think that you can sync up with the powers here, I think he's trying to think about it and see if he feels it. So I think he's actually inclined to believe what she's saying now that he's mm-hmm. had time to adjust to being here.
Okay.
Only because she said, we're trying to make you get powers. If she had just said, if she had just stopped earlier in the conversation, he would probably have said, mm-hmm. what do you mean? I'm a high school student. Why do you need my help? But,
Yeah,
so I think he's going to accept it.
Martin, accept or reject?
he is going to accept, but his reasoning is a bit different. Since he just showed up here and he's still trying to sort things out, he is convinced at this point, unless... he heard the power thing, but he hasn't seen concrete proof of anything. So what he's thinking is that I must have hit my head in the funhouse. I must have tripped. I'm hallucinating, or I am unconscious, and this is some kind of dream. So his idea is that he's going to accept, but he is only accepting because he thinks that in the next 5 seconds, I'm going to wake up, and I'll probably be in the hospital, and it'll be all right.
Okay, so when someone with influence over you tells you who you are or how the world works, accept what they say or reject their influence. If you accept what they say, the GM adjusts your labels accordingly. If you want to keep your labels as they are, you must reject the influence. So because you guys both accepted the influence, I'm going to say to shift your mundane down and I'm trying to decide between, you guys can help me, which one you think makes more sense, freak or
I think
superior
freak makes
up.
Sense.
Yeah, I think mundane down and freak up, because she's basically telling you guys are superheroes.
Yeah.
But you guys think you're normal kids. So I'd say shift freak up and mundane down.
Okay.
All right.
Done.
So as they're doing that, I think as I hear this conversation going on, I've probably finished the coffee pot. My hands are starting to shake a little bit. And I hear Martin's voice, and I think I walk out. I set the coffee pot down carefully, and then I walk out the door outside of the kitchen, and I think Martin doesn't cause as much of a reaction. I kind of see him, and then I just kind of stand there staring at him, and then I just kind of walk over to the couch and sit down and turn the TV that was showing images of the Technomancer, which is
Jonas.
His mm-hmm. Jonas's name off, and I just kind of sit there and I'm just waiting to find out what happens next.
Yeah. So there is another TV that also has Martin's picture on it. So we'll go ahead and go into Wesley, explain Martin's superhero abilities.
All right. As a superhero, Martin is he has two abilities, one primary, one secondary. Since he is the protege, he shares one move with his mentor, which is animal transformations, and he also gets a solo power, just like his mentor gets one. And for solo power, I chose telepathy, but this is not the usual way people would think of telepathy. It's not so much reading minds. It is more like if he sees someone and wants them to act in a certain way, he can hold that thought in his mind and then project it into their own. And so basically they turn into his puppets, which is how he was known in this world as the puppeteer.
In other words, he has the ability to do Inception but in a much shorter time frame.
Kind of.
Yes. Yes, he plants thoughts in people's minds, yeah. Something to note about the protege, and we'll talk more about this later, is that the protege does have a mentor.
Yes, I do.
So, yes, he does have, like, a mentor in this reality as well that has helped, like, train him. The best way to kind of explain that relationship is, like, Batman and Robin. So, like, Martin is the Robin, and then he has a mentor in this world as well.
Of course, my character doesn't know that yet, so...
Briefly mention your moves, and then we'll move on.
Right. My moves I have chosen are... I have... This first one is called Fireside Chat. When you seek advice from your mentor, roll plus the label they embody. On a hit, then they will tell you what to do. On a 10 plus, mark potential if you follow their advice and take plus one ongoing to follow through. On a 7 to 9, you get plus one forward to see it through if you do it their way. On a miss, they don't have time for you because something big has gone down. Mark a condition of the GM's choice. The second one I have is be mindful of your surroundings. When you assess the situation before entering into a fight, you may ask one additional question, even on a miss. And I have one that I think will be very useful. Been reading the files. You've learned about the superhuman world through your mentor's resources. When you first encounter some important superpowered phenomenon, which is your call, roll plus superior. On a hit, tell the team the important detail you've learned from your studies. The GM will tell you what it is. If anything seems different from what you remember, on a 10 plus, ask the GM a follow-up question. They will answer it honestly. On a miss, the situation is well outside your base of knowledge. The GM will tell you why.
Okay, so we've all accepted this shift in labels, so you accept what Bashara has said to you. And Sierra, you've come out of the kitchen, correct? So you're in the main area with the group?
Yeah. Yeah, I imagine them kind of clustered around the door. I'm just sitting on the couch, just kind of back to them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm not really doing anything, I'm just listening.
Yeah.
Trying just not to look at Jonas.
You guys are standing there, and you hear the elevator door ding. And the doors open, and it's Jason Joseph III, who Sierra knows. Jason is the, like, director of the League of Defense, so he kind of oversees all of these heroes and operations and things like that. The League of Defense has been kind of passed down through his family, and he's the current head of the League of Defense. And you see him walk through, and his eyes lock on Martin. And Sierra, you know this is because Martin is Jason's son. And Martin was the first hero assassinated.
Yeah. I think when this happens, I would have stood up when I heard the ding because I knew who was coming. And then I just lock eyes with Jason after he looks at Martin.
And I think that's where we're gonna end it.
Wow.
Oh, okay.